Okay. So welcome everybody to the 5G use case team meeting for February 20, 2020. Ooh, it's gonna be 2-20-2020, so at 10:20 p.m. tonight, it's gonna be 2-20-2020. So we're gonna be talking first, as Romal said, about the M4 deadline and deliverables, and then R7 McWayland release and proposals. So does anybody have anything urgent they'd like to, anything else they'd like to add to the agenda or to talk about the proposals in general or specifically with M4? Okay, so M4 is just a couple weeks away, and actually a lot of the teams that I'm in contact with, you know, they're preparing to close in on their software deliverables. I was just on the TSC call. I was on the TSC proxy for Nokia this weekend as Timo was out. And they were also looking at talking about the same thing. The M4 deadline is coming up quickly. They had a presentation from the integration team and talking about the status of M4. I also showed them very quickly that we've been working on our use case teams process, and also that I've been working with Andy Mayer and others in the modeling team on the modeling process for many months. So I just gave them a really quick teaser of the process, and that when we get further along on this, that we'll present, give a full presentation of the TSC. There is also next week, I've set a time next Wednesday to have a dedicated call on the on this process page. So, if you have insight into the process and what should be done during the various drops, so I started all of this so far, and so I sort of kicked it off. I got up to about M2 here. describing what we're doing in these cases, but I haven't really gone through word by word with just me working in vitro. So, but I have been working closely with the actual modeling subcommittee team for for actually word by word. So I feel this has been really good. I've gotten really good feedback and interaction. Dialogue and stuff. So I kind of would like to do the same thing with all the people in the use case team, and I've dedicated next Wednesday's realization call to do that. I am meeting with Chakra this afternoon to do something similar for the architecture process page as well. And if you're interested in that, just let me know. And you can join in on the call. It's happening in about 4 hours time from now. So I know that's maybe kind of tough for Europe, but we're really just kicking off the architecture page, and I'm sure that Chuck will have some time in the actual architecture subcommittee meeting to discuss this as well. Okay, so I just want to let you know that's also this week. yesterday at the realization call, Oscar and Lukasz were talking about the SO workflows to building blocks work happening in R6. Which is basically a way to encapsulate the workflows and BPMN workflows in SO to be a little bit more visually manageable. So you can listen to that recording here on the use case realization page. Also, I have gotten approval from Chakra to move the realization work under the architecture work. And basically, Ala's subcommittee is focused more on very high level requirements feeding into the TSC, and you can kind of see that through the release proposal list. So she is taking proposals for R7, and anybody who wants to propose something into R7 can make presentations on her Monday call. And I've said her call meets every other week now. And I've also told her that, once Nokia does some assessment, we'll also be presenting here. So far we have some basically Etsy you know, onboarding Etsy SO004 compliant packages, SO007 network descriptor packages, the Etsy SO007 compliant network packages, profile nested. So a lot of Etsy SO0X alignment stuff. This week, Tuesday, there was an Etsy ONAP sort of harmonization, if you will, workshop. It was led by Tin. It was led by Tin and was also pretty good at discussing a lot of the Etsy alignment stuff, which the link off of. I want to put the link to the slide. I put a link just for my own edification under the onboarding calendar. Copy today's notes as well, so you can get it easier. I'll put it in references maybe. Let me see where I put it. There you go. Okay, so there are actually some wiki pages related to this now, and I'll just give you a quick teaser on it. So there's a number of cross-company, many companies working on this, and they gave a presentation at this workshop on Tuesday talking about how all these different SO00 Etsy standards fit into the flow of orchestration and onboarding, and how they're used and what state they're in, and how it involves ONAP. So I'm not sure if it was probably recorded, but anyway, very informative, very interesting. So you can read this page here, and it kind of describes where these packages and standards are used and how they're used. There's also a catalog management page that they talked about as well. Although this page they had a better slideware that is much better than this actual page. I don't know if they have their actual slides anywhere, but they had a really good slide sort of showing a lot of the stuff and how it's used and things. But you can take a look at this page if you weren't at that actual meeting. It was also mentioned, or I mentioned the call, that workshop, the modeling call. Okay. Questions on that? Okay. All right. So let's see. So for M4, M4 is the code freeze drop. And let's just see really quick what's kind of expected of us there. I'm just gonna scroll down here. M4, okay, these. Now let me just cut and paste this so we have a view of what should happen in M4. All right, so I think this is kind of what we're expecting on the floor here. All right, so code freeze marks the end of feature coding. All the Jira issues are either fixed or in the current release or assigned to the next release. 100% of functional test cases are automated and the end-of-release test cases are implemented through the integration team. By Morgan Rochrone, all new VNF requirements planned for the release reviewed and implemented in the VNF compliance project. And also, no, we've been kind of kicking down the bucket for the read-the-doc stuff. But probably you want to, if you have use case documentation, you know, this is probably now the time to start thinking about that stuff. And if we go to here in the your guides and verified use cases, Let's see. I make sure I'm in the latest. Yeah, latest. Okay. I should have done something. All right, and then I go to user guides. And then verified use cases. You'll see some of the new use cases that happened in R6. I don't think they have a page yet. So we have the real-time PM, bulk PM configuration on Oscar's configuration on NetConf, and Borislav's Borislav's network management, network slicing. I don't think is there yet. Schenker's OFPCI, my plug and plays there, software upgrade. So notably, we're missing, I think, the harmonization, Vimal and Marge's harmonization, Borislav's network slicing, which you just, I don't know. So we should probably, get the ball rolling on that, right? So in the in each of these pages, it gives a description of the thing. It gives you, generally, you can put links also to the actual wiki pages that describe the basic use case as well. and there's links, there should be links to like some of the test cases and other useful pages like simulations and stuff like that. But anyway, I think we should probably, Sophia Wallen, there is the lead contact for that, and she hasn't returned my call emails, unfortunately, but they do meet. Doc meets every 8 a.m. on Thursdays today. So, let's see. All right. Oh, what's I was going to do? I see March joined. Can't find her in the directory. That's weird. Nice. Okay, and Boris Long joined. All right, so any questions on that? Okay, so I think probably so for some action points here in the harmonization use case, we probably need to start thinking about the docs entry. And if I can put a direct link to this here, let me see. Hopefully this will go right to the use case page. Yeah, so probably the harmonization, I would say, because it's a new use case and, you know, in the last couple of releases, it needs a new page here. And also network slicing, which has been underway for a while, but it also doesn't have a page because it's really hitting the ground running in this R6 release. As well as the runtime config DB, I think we probably need to make pages there as well. So let me put an action item into the network slicing team here. And also for the runtime config DB. Okay. All right. So are there any other thoughts of about the M4 deliverables? Okay. So again, that's just coming up in 2 weeks' time. So hopefully the everything's on target there. Ella did open up a few weeks ago, actually. Request to for new R7 requirements, so you can at any time reach out to her and schedule a presentation to for our new R7 requirements. I do know that they're trying to move that, I guess, the name of requirements to, you know, use cases to requirements. I think everything is requirements now, so there was a lot of confusion about that. Let's find it. So you'll notice in R6, you know, I was on the TSC and there was only one use case at that point. Now there's more, but when there was one use case and everything was a requirement, I asked the question, gee, it's a little weird that we only have one use case and they marked everything else as a requirement. So I asked if I could get some clarity on that. I never really heard back. So I don't know if Vimal, what you feel about that, but it seems a little weird that kind of everything is moving to requirements, but I mean, it is what it is now. So I think the concept of a use case still, for me, these are all use cases, right? And it seems kind of odd that we're calling them requirements, right? So. So I think, you know, what we've thought of as use cases, I think are kind of being called requirements now. So, when you make proposals, maybe you want to consider that and keep that in mind. I assume that many of our use cases will continue in R6. There'll be more things to do. We certainly have the next stage of things to happen, especially of those use cases that kind of really got going in R6, such as the harmonization use case and the network slicing use case and the runtime config DB. More of the mature use cases, such as like plug and play and things like that, probably, you know, will have less things that they need to propose. Okay. So last time, in the last couple meetings, we also talked about, I have an R7 here. In the last couple of meetings, I'll draw our attention to as we're starting to think about R7, actually. So Andy Mayer stepped us through the new template, and where is that? It's here somewhere. Let me see. New release template somewhere. Let me see. Next. Okay. Maybe not. I need to find it really quick. Should probably bookmark it. Okay. So we have, I'm just going to link it off of today's notes here. Organization call. All right, so here, I think it's this one. Yep, okay. So everybody agreed that we should be using this template into R7 and Guilin. Case template. So you'll notice that what you really need right at the start when you propose something is just this business driver piece filled out, right? So that if you look in Alice's proposal page, you know, just fill that out first, and either create or extend, you know, your seven Berlin page, and then Andy had, who's on the call actually, yeah, Andy's on the call, talked about this last time and walked us through the new piece of the use case page. And I believe most people, I think, were on that call as well.
Are we going to maybe take this template and maybe create an example, you know, based on this 5G use case?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe it might be useful just for a use case we know is going to happen in R7 to maybe as a team kind of walk through one. That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
I like that idea. So.
Are we also going to talk about the modeling, information modeling today?
Yeah.
Okay.
So an example. Okay. And I see that Joined. All right. So let's see. Actually, we can go to that topic now, Andy. Let me see. What I have. So we're in past M3 here, and the release information model, right, is at a point where we can start sharing and talking about it. Did you have a link, or do you want to present on that topic?
So probably one of the best, I see Chewy's here too, one of the best ways to proceed would be to kind of go through your table, and then we can just kind of talk about how we can maybe plans to turn that into some UML and what you want to focus on, right? Do you want to focus on just the ANAI aspects?
Right.
Are there any folks from like ANAI on today too?
No, but I presented at the ANAI call yesterday, actually.
Yeah. So maybe you can summarize some of the feedback or what their thoughts are. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so I have already presented this at this call, so hopefully people are kind of remember, you know, what I was talking about. So basically, the use case is on the 5G service. Modeling use case, and I lose a little bit of overhead every time. Probably said this about 10 times now in various places. But whoa, what's going on here? Oh. Whoa, what happened to my page? That's weird. That is very strange. Hold on, let me just try to. Somehow I lost 414. Oh, I started a previous version. Something really bad happened. Okay, so basically this use case is around figuring out what the modeling work that we need to do to create a 5G service, and basically starting that off from the 3GPP TS28.540 and 3GPP TS28.541, the network resource model, as a start. So in that document, what I took some months to basically take all of the objects mentioned in that document. It takes a while to open up, so we'll just start opening up now. and then what I did was I teased out all of the attributes that are mentioned there. And there are tables for those as well in the document as well, and then mapped it across the where it might be used, and also where what objects it's used in. So I've presented about three times on the ANAI call. So these were all of the. I still have it. Filtered on ANAI. So these were all the things that were tagged as ANAI. My original feeling was that basically, you know, much of these things are going to be in the runtime config DB instead of ANAI. And I'll tag just in yellow or maybe green here. So the things that are that I've presented at the ANAI team yesterday, and we kind of talked through and I got feedback from them. So there are some things that are essentially are already in ANAI. So for example, I'll just walk you through these. So for the administrative and operational state, well, it's hard to take it out of context here, so let me just show you real quick. So if you look at the what's in the ANAI schema for PNF, you'll see they already have actually like operational state and administrative status from X.733 in the standard. So X.731, they already have them there. So that's kind of already there.
But wait. So I mean, those are on a different level. So I mean, if you have something on the cell and attributes, that is not the same as on the PNF level.
That's true, right. That's a good point. So the ANI has the PNF, VNF admin and offstat, but not for cell and network slice. Yeah, that's a good point. So okay, thank you, Oscar.
But is ANI got to track it down to the cell?
No. So let me get to that in a second. So let me just walk through, and I'll come back to that point. So for the GNode B, I showed them that, again, kind of like Oscar's saying, they don't really track the entire GNode B, but they have, so there's two important things to keep in mind here. Like, there's basically a base station, which I think will be modeled as a service in ONAP. And then there's a DU and CU. So for the individual DU and CU, they have the ID and name and so forth. But for the actual GNode B, it's not likely to have something like that. So, yeah, go ahead.
But all these could have one-to-many relationship. Yeah, go ahead, Oscar, you were saying something.
Yeah. Maybe I have a similar comment that a single PNF, for example, can have multiple instances of these functions.
So each DU could have multiple RUs. Each multiple DUs could be connected to the same CUCP or same CU in case.
That's right.
I think we need to support that kind of.
And
so even as Oscar said, even in the same physical box, maybe we don't notice that, but there could be multiple instances.
Right.
There is no, for example, the GNode B DU is a logical function. It's not exactly the same as a PNF, which is a deployment unit. Mm.
Correct, right. And I mentioned that, that's what I was actually mentioning as well to them, that I described that, the whole thing is a GNode B, and the GNode B as a logical concept, and the same thing with the cell. So that's a good segue back into this as well. A network slice where some of these other things are used are not exactly in ANI. I mean, maybe I should track that in a different way. I should probably note that in a different way. So it's not something that kind of belongs in ANI in the sense that the GNode B, if you look at a lot of these things, particularly the GNode B, these are the GNode B IDs this is the actual individual DU though. So this is the I spoke too quickly here. So this is, I believe, the actual PNFs, because
not even that is always true. I said, the GNode B DU is a logical function. You could even have, in theory, multiple instances of that on a single PNF or some other combination.
Oscar,
can you repeat one more time? You said each DU is a logical function, or
GNode B
is a logical function?
Yeah, the GNode B DU is a logical function. It provides a certain traffic function with a certain interfaces defined by TDPP. Now, you can host that function in different ways on PNFs and so on. Yeah. So it's dangerous to make the assumption that it's one-to-one, because you have the deployment view with your PNFs and VNFs, then you have the logical functions with the traffic interfaces controlling user plane, and there are many different scenarios actually in how these logical functions are related to the deployment units.
Mm-hmm. So I would say that if this is a PNF, I mean the ID and so forth and name or in AI, if it's a logical non-PNF thing, then it's, again, not an obviously not in AI. It might be tracked in a service or maybe in runtime config DB, right? Is that kind of what you're
saying? Yeah. So I think, to be honest, I think most of the things that you show here belong to runtime DB, and I don't fully understand why we should try to put them in AI.
Yeah. So I agree.
Let me just show you. So 99% of all this stuff is in runtime config DB, right? There's only a couple of things that that might be tagged to ANEI. And when I actually met with the ANEI team now 3 times. It turns out, the point is that I think essentially nothing is in the ANEI, right? Or there are things that are already in the ANEI that can be represented in ANEI. But we wanted to do that analysis, right?
Since the other day we talked, right, the ANEI, now the intention doesn't have intention to store the PNF information. So they just do the PNF ID or PNF name, and cross-reference to the low level, which is a configure DB, has a low level information.
That's right. Yeah,
so
that's
they
right.
just cross-reference. Right. They don't do anything. You don't put any information put into the ANEI.
But it's more than
they
no
just think of scouting.
Right. I mean, it's got name, it's got ID, it's got equipment, it's got inventory, literally inventory information, a ton of IP addresses, right? So to say that there's nothing in ANEI is wrong, right? But we want to focus that the 3GPP suggested parameters that go into ANEI are really just for inventory purposes, right? I completely agree with you. You don't want to put anything in ANEI that's not inventory. I totally agree with you and Oscar. That's the case. And I just want to make sure that the things that are mentioned here don't do that. So.
Hi Ben, this is Chu Yi. Hi Ben, I think what you have shown the attributes here, I think this is actually I agree that these attributes more like the logic function, and maybe each attribute is not individual to one PNF, but it is more like a network function level. And if so, I want to know how can we get this information? Because, you know, maybe this information comes from the network element. And from my point of view, I think the DCAE or OS can collect those data from the network element. So I don't know, should this attributes consider to, you know.
So maybe jumping into the ANI thing was a deep dive into the ANI stuff was maybe the wrong place to start. So one thing and what you're kind of hinting at is one thing that's kind of missing is an overall information, you know, an UNF information model structure and how we want to do that. So I've presented this a number of times at the modeling call and on side modeling calls. And Andy is here also to help us think about this because I mentioned it on this week's modeling call as well that we'd be talking about here. So I think, you know, one thing we have to think about is, and I don't particularly have a strong feeling of how we should do this, but I think one thing we need to think about is how should ONAP's information model, be structured to accommodate the 3GPP 28.541, right? So I don't know if Andy, if you have some slides or locations or things that you can show us on the information model, that might be useful too, but I think that's one thing we need to really have a discussion about, right? How would the information model itself be augmented to accommodate this?
So Chuy, we have this documentation from 3GPP, and they've identified a number of sets of configuration information. And I guess the main question is, for those things, how do we plug them into to our own app information model?
Yes, I actually, we already have the page for the network slice, which is comes from the end-to-end network slicing case requirements. From my understanding of 3GPP, I think the attributes in 541, there has two kind of level. One level is like a service profile or slice profile, which describes the service capability or performance of NSI or NSSI, which is at the service level. So the attributes is usually the latency or down expected data rate or something. And another is what you have just mentioned, like the GNB related attributes. I think it's more related to the network function and is part of the network subnet slice model. I think maybe the attributes is actually is more related to the resource level at my point, because it describes our model one like AMI for or UDF function. But current work, I was trying to focus from the end-to-end network slicing cases, how we build a service level model and to match the service orchestrator to pull end-to-end network slicing. But the inner side, for example, like the details of a run service, I don't have more idea about that. I think maybe this is also should be, you know, talk about with the resource team to see how can we model a network function, which is I think is a layer between service and WinF and PNF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, the 3GPP standards also suggest some things, not that we have to go with them, but I think the network slicing maybe paves the way to think about that, and maybe we need something between those. And so also, if we look at a lot of the objects, things we're going to need in Gwaylin either. But I think the main thing is we want to think about is how would we introduce these so that not every random team that comes along, you know, and as we have further teams that have specific applications or use cases, they're not necessarily going to be, you know, model experts either. So I think we want to sort of lay the groundwork, I think, for thinking about this in R6 and into R7. So that when we do need these, that they're not so haphazard, right? I think that's, and it's good that network slicing has sort of been underway for a couple of releases as well. We can maybe use that as a guide.
So Ben, I have a question. So just talking about network slicing, right? For the one, even though what the SDC currently building the so-called complex service model, right? They somehow the concept with the service, you know, including the in the PNF and the WinF and the recursive way, that say the WinF still contain the PNF too. So did we go back try the current complex service model built into the SDC? And now this is already in the own-up SDC already. So what is the slicing model to compare to current building the, you know, complex model in the SDC? Do they have a similarity, or they leverage that to totally brand new modeling?
Yeah, I don't know if Chewy or Boris.
I can talk to Andy Meyer. Because I see the slicing model, really, there's some similarity for the complex service model built into the SDC. Did we go over the things with the one you are working on, the some slicing too, right, Andy?
I think Chewy's point was that there seems to be in this 3GPP model, there seems to be many things that are kind of resource focused. But the modeling that was done for slicing is kind of a service focused slicing model. I think what we'd have to do is differentiate, you know, what's resource focused, which is a little bit different. It can support the slicing versus the service specific parameters.
As Oscar sort of hints at, I mean, there's definitely things that are logical and there's things physically oriented. So like a cell, for example, I mean, that's not something you can touch, right? So that's a cell. A cell
starting with the constructs, right, would be a good start. You know, what are the key constructs that you want modeled?
And I think that's kind of how the actual 3GPP standard starts off too. I mean, many of these things are actual boxes, right? All of these basic sort of functions per se in DFS and Math VDM, so functions and CUs and DUs and are boxes, if you will, and on top of that sits a number of logical constructs, which may need a different kind of modeling than the things that are maybe more grounded in XNLs, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to say, right, in the currently the SDC contains the modeling with the logical and the physical modeling. And the which service level between underneath they have PNF, WinF, and from WinF also contain the WinF and the PNF. They have the recursive way defined in the complex service model into the SDC already. So that's why we say if we do kind of make sure this is the slicing. And now the Gail did before had discussion on this. You know, in sync the complex service model with the design in the SDC, the way we try to say use mapping to 3GPP to come to the modeling you have implemented to the SDC. It's not a paperwork, right, Ben? So the final goal you have to implement to SDC in order to driven the model driven, right? That's the purpose.
Well, right? SDC is the design time stuff. I mean, the runtime components also use the platform information model, right? So it's not just all in SDC. So basically,
go ahead.
When you create a service, there are resources you can associate with that service, VNFs or PNFs. And in SDC, you basically design what your service will look like. And then in runtime, you have actual instances of those resources that come online and are associated with the service that you instantiate in runtime. And all of those things use the platform, you know, in runtime, actually use the platform information model and data models to drive, you know, API development and stuff. So I think basically as a first step before you get to a data model, you have to basically consider the information model that everything else is based on, right? So I think the first step is the information model. How would the network resource model from 3GPP standards influence our information model so that, you know, other projects and use cases and applications and services and components such as SDC and others can capitalize on it. I think that's, you know, and so Andy, of course, is asking some of the really basic fundamental questions, like what things are logical things and what things are not logical things, tangible things and untangible things. And I think those are relatively straightforward. Anything that is related to loss associated or VNF, say, associated with it is a little bit more tangible than, say, a cell. And those are pretty easy to identify. So if we take one example of these endpoints, for example, these addresses that deal with endpoints, those are, each of those things have objects in the NRM, and then they have this endpoint model, which basically tells you these two things are linked together, and here's the addresses that they now they link up. And I think these are probably going to be VNFs, and then of course, you know, linking two boxes in ONAP. ONAP does very well already, I think. So, but much harder are sort of domain-specific types of operational type things that it's not even necessarily obvious if ONAP will ever need to know about some of these things, like SSP frequency, for example. Yeah, it's possible that ONAP will never need to know about that at all, ever. But we, as we see, I mean, there are things that ONAP does care about, and all of these will probably come from 5G use cases, essentially. So we have, you know, a SON PCI use case that cares about cell, for example, in PCI. The network slicing use case cares about all these things related to, in the model, about network slicing. So I think, you know, one strategy is to, well, we just do nothing and wait. You know, whenever a particular use case comes up, we'll just tackle it then, right? Another strategy, which I'm sort of championing, is, well, I don't think we should be so haphazard. Let's at least think about how we might want to introduce especially these domain things, because as I presented in many meetings, there's a whole bunch of topics to discuss and think about and work through. And those aren't fast things to think about, right? They take a lot of thought and consideration to work through. And, you know, one of them is, for example, you know, all these things relate to just the wireless domain. Well, if we introduce stuff into the information model is meant to be domain agnostic, or it can have domain specific stuff, but maybe we need to do something special for it to do that. So that kind of thing isn't a fast discussion, but you only really kind of need to do it once, right? So I'm suggesting let's have some of these tough discussions now so that it doesn't blindside us when we really need it, right? So, okay.
But I have a question for the trainee for the like the slicing. For the slicing, the one you have, are you, or the slicing, the use case will implement that model, slicing model to the modeling world in the SDC in the R6 or R7, or it's just paperwork exercise so far?
I think currently the network slicing case is using the exist SDC implementation to do the model part, and currently it is just related to service design, not more about the resource part.
So I think that's one of the big problems, okay, too, is that every use case basically, okay, under tight, you know, deadlines and stuff, and so they just kind of hack in whatever we can do to show something working, right? So you don't want to ultimately have all of this modeling stuff be a hack with each little thing, right? I think you want to step back and say, let's create this structure, or we premeditatedly create these sets of objects that we might want to use for, you know, when we do want to turn these things up. And we can tag them as experimental using the ISOMI tags, for example, so that they're, you know, not finalized, but they're things that are essentially prototypes and that we might introduce, right? So that at least, basically what that, these ISOMI experimental states, for example, that you say, you know, this is what we think or we're, you know, that we should introduce. And then when you're really ready to introduce it, you can tweak that to an actual real, you know, thing, yeah, and you can go to preliminary and then actually use it as an actual object, right? So I think that's a better approach than just kind of, oh, we have this use case, let's just, you know, how do we make this, and you have this team that is inexperienced in modeling and they don't necessarily know what to do, and then they introduce this random, you know, two or three parameters, and that's just a kludge, right? So I don't think that's a good long-term approach to how we should do this. So this is clearly a multi-release effort, and so I'm just starting that ball rolling in that discussion here. So so I think, Andy, I mean, one thing is maybe, what if we start with some of these suggested objects that are suggested from the standards and see, you know, maybe that's one way to think about, just take one of these things and, you know, and maybe introduce it that way, or I don't know, I'm open to whatever suggestions you have.
Yeah, so Chewy's going to kind of lead the modeling here with you.
Yeah.
But it's probably a good suggestion is starting to look at some of the elements from the class level to understand what we would do with them as far as the information model. And I do agree that, you know, some are going to be part of the core model and some will be, you know, models of technology specific things. At least we have a common representation when we store things in a dynamic way in a database or with tag values like runtime DB. I doubt that we would hard code all these schemas in runtime DB. I'd be surprised if we did. But Joanne, do you have an opinion on that? Would runtime DB kind of be like a NoSQL database where you would just kind of provide a JSON structure for technology specific things?
No. They do have with the schema. The schema is still under discussion, so they will have schema design.
So is the schema going to be technology specific schema, or are they going to use like the name values or a NoSQL type schema?
I think that, like, at least now it's SQL table structure and the how many tables and what's the, you know, like a SQL relationship with all the tables.
Oh, so they're actually gonna have specific technology specific tables in their runtime DB.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, because we AT&T contribute. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then we would need to have the technology specific details somehow represented in a model. Because it's mm-hmm. definitely going to be part of something that's.
For R6, the runtime config DB is starting off
with R7.
Some PCI use case, right? So obviously it's technology specific to begin with. And that's kind of how it grew up.
Well, the thing is, you could choose to put technology specific details in a more dynamic, flexible way, or you could, you know, put the specific schemas in.
Yeah, so right now it's just, again, it's hard coded because it's, you know, that is predefined just because of the circumstance of how it started its use case as a POC. So I think that's going to be true of a lot of these sorts of things, and that's why
so
we're having this discussion.
Joanne, how closely related are those tables to the types of things in the 3GPP document?
So one right now, right, the 3GPP, the one we really based on the YAN model, right? The YAN model will come 3GPP. So the you know, the high street try to do the YAN model, like similar to YAN model. Then they have a certain trial error for the compile. And then there's the license issue, but I'm trying to resolve this issue. Then the AT&T folks, like Brian Freeman, the folks in the shop in that area try to do very complicated the model. They try to convert this YAN model. This guy, Ted, used to be the complex service model. He's very good from the modeling too. And he did convert to this model in the concept level, like do the scripting. But we have still control. If we want to do the effort, he will do the, you know, like the Java things, convert this is the YAN structure, to the table structure, to the SQL, then put into the, you know, runtime so-called MariaDB. So the MariaDB designed the IBM for our special group, they have to say, how do the table participation do relationship design? So those work will be happen in the R7. So
and
once this is in place,
yeah.
Then,
yeah. And also, Andy,
now we have to mount these questions.
Basically, there are overlaps already. Basically,
yeah.
You look at this table shows you the attributes that they're interested in.
Right. So you have some common constructs like a thing called a cell,
right?
Which needs to be modeled somehow, right?
Right.
Chewy, do you agree with that?
So the one now, right? For R6, only maybe like 5-6 parameters, still my new solution, didn't have any automatic way yet. So we try to even the code freeze already. So still try to pull this kind of concept, at least like a new start level.
But
this data flow into.
I think the thing though is we don't even have classes in the information model yet for things like cell. And we would, you know, leave the attribute argument for later, but just let's start talking about what are the things that we want to model.
What are the main basic constructs that need to be in the information?
So what are the main classes? And if we start just identifying what those are and how they relate to each other, that's a good start.
Yes. And I think this might, you know, the NRM, the 5G NRM might be kind of a good guide to, these are some things that, you know, clearly people have already given us thought. And, you know, maybe we use some of
these. So where's Cell here in their diagrams? Do they have like a...
So I believe Cell is something here.
Because it looks like they drive right down to like managed elements instead of... Where's the conceptual? Do they have like a conceptual diagram?
I think maybe
we can open a dedicated UML specific space for the 5G slice part. I mean, maybe a new diagram to tell the relationship between different network functions and how these network functions related to PF or WinF. We can use a new dedicated diagram to describe this. Mm-hmm. And the main question is what I think currently should we for example, if we have a picture for run service model, should we the next level is the network function level? Because I'm not very familiar with run, but I think if for the current network, the next level may be AMF or UDF, and then we need to have the associations or the dedicated class to say how many attributes is related to a network function, a AMF, and then we still have some relationships to describe. Maybe the AMF, but just this is just a very initial thoughts. I don't know if it is the...
So Andy, do you have a link to the actual current information model? I can just put as a link here.
True, you have True's the editor of that.
Oh yeah, True, do you have a link to the latest? I can just put it at least in the notes here.
The slicing model you're looking for, right?
Well, just the basic overall.
Yeah.
Well, the slicing one would be good, but is there like an overall information model for all of ONet? Is that off the modeling page?
Yeah, it's in different fragments. So we have the service fragment.
Let me just ask you, when you consider modeling, how you can give the thought, say, I'm to try to see what's the relation between the modeling, like the network function, VNF, you know, PNF, relate to the network element with the YAN model? Also, 3GPP too.
The YAN model is more of a boots to the ground, Joanne. That's after like the data model and after you...
I couldn't hear this time.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello? Yeah. Am I mute? No. So I was just saying that the information model drives the actual data models in the use case, which eventually drives. I think we're over time actually.
Hello.
Yeah, I think we're over time, actually. We might be interrupting.
Yeah, there might be another meeting that's trying to start up.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you, everybody. Yep. Thank you, everybody. We'll end the call here.